Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
I'm Ben. We are, as always, joined by our super producer, Noel the Mobile Brown.
I like it.
Yeah, thank you. Every so often we get one right.
Yeah.
And that makes this Car Stuff.
How about the Pump Man?
The Pump Man.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds, you know, if we were in a heist film, it would sound as though Noel were the fellow with the shotgun.
Oh, I wish we were in a heist film. That's probably my favorite type of film ever. Heist
really?
Films. Yeah, I love heist films.
Oh, man. Yeah, I spend an inordinate amount of time, Scott, figuring out who would be who were you and I and Noel and some of our coworkers to create a heist team.
Where they do like those freeze frames and they'll have like below like the brains or something like that. Or, you know, whatever it is, the technician.
This is such a side note. It's such a tangent. But for our listeners out there, if you are also a fan of heist films, we do have one brain stuff video called it's called like Why Shouldn't I Rob a Bank or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And in that. We have some of our coworkers pop up in that style Scott's describing, where we have, you know, someone come up like Lauren Numbers Vogelbaum or like Scotty Two Hands Benjamin.
I watched that. There's some surprises in there too, like just how low paying that job is.
Yes,
you can call it a job.
Yeah,
and an extreme high risk.
And how many banks? We break down the numbers of how many banks one would have to rob in order to be above the poverty line.
Reminds me of my Brinks car. I try to stay away from Brinks delivery vans. You remember that from a long, long time ago? We talked about that.
Yeah.
And other people wrote in and said the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that they try to avoid all of that activity at all costs because of, you know, potential for some chaos happening.
Right.
And just you don't want to be anywhere near that stuff. You just don't want to be taken as suspicious when you're not. There's a weird thing with Brinks delivery trucks being around me and, mm-hmm. and other people, too, I know.
And it goes back to the situation you put yourself in. So one situation that we're all familiar with as drivers will be, of course, the gas station, the oasis of the desert that is the American interstate.
Yeah, let's say that you're running low on fuel when you leave home.
Yeah.
And you get to work and you realize that you were supposed to stop for fuel on the way. So now you're really, really low on
fuel.
But
you're too busy.
But you're at the office and you're maybe downtown. And of course, you know, gas stations downtown are a bit more scarce than they are out in the suburbs, maybe.
Not to mention more expensive.
And far more expensive. That's right. So what do? I mean, do you push it and try to get home again on that already low tank?
Ding, 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 ding with the E-light flashing.
Yeah, it's trouble. And I see a lot of motorists stranded on the side of the road that are, you know, using that safety, what do they call it, the hero vehicles that come around
and
help people with some minor things like changing the tire or whatever.
Right.
They have a gallon of fuel that they'll provide you with for free. But, you know, that's just 1 gallon to get you to the nearest gas station. It's not like what we're going to be talking about today. That's a slightly different thing.
Right. Yeah. What we're talking about today will be the, and just a side note. Here in Atlanta, HERO stands for Highway Emergency Response Operators.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I know the question that some people might have, which is, hey, Ben, you're pretty much a skinflint, right? You're a cheapskate. Have you ever just driven to empty for that free gallon of gas? The answer is no. Even I have not done that.
No, that would be a terrible situation to put yourself in, you know, intentionally.
Right.
An awful idea.
But what if there were a better way?
Yeah, there is a better way. In fact, there's a better way that's been happening for quite some time now. And I honestly didn't know this was going on for this long because some of these companies that we're going to talk about today have been around for upwards of 18 months in certain parts
more
of
than
the,
a year.
Certain parts of the United States. What we're talking about is these gasoline delivery startups. And it's really fuel on demand. Wherever you want, whenever you want, you can get fuel put into your vehicle. And, you know, in the past, I was thinking about this, and that's not a new idea by any means. I mean, we'll talk about where and the companies and everything in just a moment. But since there's been machinery, really, people have been getting fuel delivered to that machinery. You know, if it's not street legal, if it's not something that is mobile even, you know, some large construction equipment that requires diesel fuel, I mean, massive amounts of diesel fuel, farmers that require a fill-up in their own tanks so that they can fill up their tractors and their skid loaders or whatever they have there to do their jobs, they can fill up those machines whenever they need to, you know, day or night.
Right.
You know, sometimes also, again, large amounts of fuel. Or if you have an isolated home, you might have your own fuel tank.
Right, yeah, or heating oil.
Yeah, I had an aunt that had a gasoline tank for just that purpose, and it was bigger than a 55-gallon drum. It was probably three or four times that size.
Right.
And occasionally they would have somebody come out and fill that thing, and then they have, of course, their own pump set up so that they can pump it into their own personal vehicles. But they were miles and miles from the nearest gas station and out in the middle of the country. And I think that was the original intent, was for the previous owners who operated it as a farm. They were simply living in it as a residence, you know, just a home out in the middle of nowhere, really.
Well, yeah, especially if you live in a place that has inclement weather, you know, like parts of the Northeast can be can have very severe weather during the winter, which is why it pays to have access to bulk fuel in your home or heating oil. And then there will be companies like Wilco, for instance, a pretty big company, will deliver fuel, diesel or gas, to these residential areas, rural areas. It's not, you know, it's not the newest idea on the block, but what we're seeing now over the past few months is a radical take on this.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to compare this in a way to Uber, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very similar. It's in a lot of ways, and we'll explain it. In fact, there's even a tie-in later that we'll talk about.
Yeah,
that's
kind of
confusing, but the companies that are already doing this, the ones that are listed as, you know, current operating gasoline delivery startups are companies called like Filled,
mm-hmm.
WeFuel, mm-hmm. Yoshi, Purple, Booster Fuels. And these are operating in places like San Francisco, L.A., Palo Alto, Nashville, Tennessee, right here in Atlanta.
Yep.
Now, I haven't seen any of these around town yet. If I have, I haven't noticed it because maybe they look like, you know, just a construction equipment or, you know, part of a fleet of vehicles that goes out to you know, job sites or whatever.
I haven't seen them.
Well, because, you know, it's similar in the way that construction equipment is refueled. You know, the companies have their own pump trucks where they put, storage tanks on the back of a pickup truck maybe. And then they have an electric fuel pump that operates. And they can fill any machine they need to with diesel fuel without obviously having to load it onto a flatbed and then haul that thing to the gas station and have it filled up. So, again, it's not a brand new idea. But it is new for the type of consumer that they're catering to here, because they're talking about just office workers, people that, you know, simply residential, you know, locations where people just don't want to be bothered, I guess, with driving to the gas station. And that kind of leads me to a quick question before we really get into this, Ben.
Yeah.
Do you hate the process of going to the gas station so much that you would sign up for a service like this? And we'll talk about fees and other logistic issues in a moment. But do you hate the process that much? Because I think some people really do hate going to the gas station. It's like the worst part of their week.
I'm going to answer this candidly. And there is only one place that I've been where I hated the gas stations. Mm-hmm. It's New Jersey, because you can't pump your own gas. However, I love gas stations. If this were not a family show, I would be cursing. Dude, I don't need gas. I'll just go to a Quick Trip. I think they have cool stuff.
You know what? I do the exact same thing, and I like the process.
Yeah, a good gas station is almost like a general store.
I see it also as a way to get out and stretch your legs on a hot summer day.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
I know it's hot or whatever, but it's a good time to get out of the car and stretch a little bit. Get the blood pumping back again on your legs. And also, it gives you a chance to, you know, just I do this. I just kind of check to make sure all my tires are still inflated.
Sure,
and make sure that, you know, I clean the windshield or something like that. I just kind of busy myself while it's pumping. I'm not really bothered by it.
Right. It's cool to slow down and wait. One of my favorite things about road trips are actually the odd gas stations you can find on the way. I'll always try to go for the mom and pop one off the beaten path, and especially in areas where there's a proliferation of regional, I guess, culture. You can find some really cool and weird stuff. And, I like to, if I'm not in a hurry, you know, I'll pull over at a gas station or a rest stop that's by some wilderness or forest or a nice field or something. And then I'll have lunch there.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good idea.
A picnic kind of thing.
Have you ever gone to one of, and this is particularly here in the South, I think.
Mm.
you'll pull into one of those mom and pop type stations that's off the freeway, maybe a mile or two or a couple miles even.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get a lot of business. And they're trying to sell like homemade food on the counter. Like, you know, the, you know, they've cooked biscuits and gravy that morning and they're selling it there at the store or something like that. You know, making their own breakfast sandwiches.
Boiled peanuts.
And it's not coming from some big corporation where, you know, they're pre-wrapped and everything.
Yeah. They got the one fryer with the chicken.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you if the chicken's hot.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that stuff.
I like those places. I really do. There's something to that.
And but we're not every person.
No, we're not. And some people really do hate the process. I mean, they just can't stand it. It's the worst part of their week when they have to go. So these services that we're talking about, and really the addition here, I guess, is that it's now electronic. There's an app that you can install on your phone.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, you have to do the whole sign-up process with credit card information and everything for billing. But once you do that, then you're registered to use these services that will come to your home, your office, you know, wherever you are, I guess. Even if you're, let's say that you practice softball on Wednesday nights and you want to have the tank filled up on Wednesday nights at the park, you can do that.
And while you're practicing, they'll come by and fill up your tank.
Yeah, it's quite a service. I mean, I can see where there's some benefit to this for some people. This is one of those doesn't fit everybody right now situations.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Uber, I think, is
sure.
In a similar way.
Yeah.
Some people use it just, you know, when they need to, maybe an emergency or something. But this idea, it's kind of interesting, I think. And there's a lot of different ways to look at this because you are being charged you're not being charged a premium for the fuel, but you are being charged a flat delivery rate.
Right. Okay. So this is interesting because they don't always have the same business model, but I believe it is filled determines the price of the gas you pay through a calculation of the average price for gas stations around you.
Yeah, Filled is one of the companies that operates here in Atlanta, I believe.
And then they add a $5 fee.
Yeah, so there's a flat fee on top of that. And I've seen numbers that go up to $7, I think. So it's between $5 and $7, the flat fee. But is it – I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Was it the average or was it the lowest price locally available? Because they on the app, it'll tell you they do it in a couple of different ways. Some of these companies operate differently.
Right, yeah.
So – you'll be told what the price of the fuel will be before it goes into your vehicle, of course. And that will either be the lowest price in the area or the average price in the area. So I know those numbers can vary, you know, probably 30 or 40 cents, it seems like, these days.
Yeah.
That's how different it is in the city, or even more, possibly, you know, in a bigger city. But it is an interesting idea. And a lot of people are now questioning the legality of this whole thing, too. And we haven't really talked about the process and everything yet, but the main focus of this article that I read, and the reason I brought this in here today, is because they're questioning whether these businesses that are operating in all these major cities now and for, again, 18 months in some cases, not in every market, some of them are operating, I wouldn't say illegally, but on the edges of the law because they haven't gotten all the permits and all the necessary paperwork to go through. They think they have, but that's kind of a gray area.
Right. And if you are a driver for one of these services, then are you hazmat certified? Because that's an issue as well.
Well, some are and some aren't.
Right. So let's go to San Francisco, where Lieutenant Jonathan Baxter, a spokesman for the fire department over there, said that it is not permitted for these companies to fuel vehicles and actually asked residents of San Francisco to call the fire department if they see any companies refueling vehicles in the city.
Can you believe that? That he wants them to rat out the companies that are doing this. Now, this is a company that's operating under the idea that they are legal. They're perfectly fine to do this. They're saying, well, we've taken care to make sure that the number of gallons that we carry is within the, what was it called? The International Fire Code, I think, is what they follow, right?
Yeah.
They're all following this International Fire Code, which is a blanket code that covers all of the United States, but some cities alter that in ways. They modify it. They make changes or provisions to it based on their own personal, or not personal, their own individual needs. Like, I would guess that, you know, LA, maybe LA does operate under this because they don't have, they haven't mentioned anything specific, like, you know, they're carrying too many gallons of fuel or what, but they did say, well, that's the problem they have with it. They say you can't simply drive around with hundreds of gallons of fuel because these trucks, some of them, just to give you an example, a Ford F-250, let's see, which company would this be? I think it might be Filled also. They're driving around with something like you know, 324 gallons of fuel. Now, that sounds like a very specific number to me.
Right.
Like maybe 325 is above the limit. So 324 gallons of fuel or gasoline, they're driving it through the city and into, you know, parking structures and into residential areas. And the fire department has a problem with that. And I can understand why they do. But the argument then is that they're not carrying nearly as much as like would a big fuel tanker truck.
Mm-hmm.
But then, see, this is like a back and forth thing. You wouldn't be driving a tanker truck of fuel underneath a, let's say, a hospital into a parking structure or underneath an office building. That's something that wouldn't happen. So you
right.
wouldn't have those, you know, instead of 300, it would be 3,000 gallons. They're saying, you know, even if there's an accident, sure, there's 324 gallons of fuel there, but that's not the 3,000 gallons that would be spilled if a full-size tanker would spill. So it's a much smaller problem. Well, I still think it's kind of a problem if, you know, 325 gallons or 324
yeah.
gallons are spilled somewhere. That's still an issue, but I can really see both sides of this whole thing, Ben. I mean, every argument, it seems like, oh yeah, I can see that point, you know, there as well. And a lot of the cities, you know, Los Angeles is one, I think that they're looking into making changes so that something like this can be legal.
Right, yeah. Los Angeles also looked into it. They said they're drafting a policy around gas delivery. Our current fire code does not allow for this process. However, we're exploring a way this could be allowed with some restrictions. That's Captain Daniel Curry, spokesman for LA's fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I thought this was a great quote, Scott. He says, it's just one of those things that nobody really thought about before, kind of like how Uber popped up out of nowhere. But he said, it's not a gray area. He says, all I can tell you at this time is it's not allowed per our current fire code.
Okay, so technically then, filled and any other similar services is not really breaking the law with the current fire code in Los Angeles. Is that right?
No, it is now.
Oh, it's opposite of what I'm thinking then. So,
yeah.
So they are currently operating illegally, but they haven't gone to get permission from them. They didn't go to get any kind of certificate or anything, but
right.
they have done other things like, you know, this is kind of weird because, you know, they'll go to get like the state troopers to take a look at the truck and make sure that it's, you know, a legit road vehicle.
Right.
And do an inspection, but there's really nothing for them to like, you know, to check off, I guess, on the like a tick box to say, okay, it's got that, it's got this, it's the safety. They look at it and say it's generally a safe vehicle.
Right.
It's contained. It's, you know, the pump seems to be operating correctly. There's other things too, like, you know, regulatory issues that you wouldn't normally think of. Like, well, the weights and measures department, you know, how they for every state, I think, or every maybe even every county. I don't know how that works, but you know, when you go to the gas pump and you see those metal foil stickers that are on the pumps and they've got, they usually, cover a seal so that, you know, the pump can't be opened, without breaking the seal. And they scribble on it the date and time, maybe a signature, something like that. That is somebody who has come out and measured, the amount of fuel that comes out of that pump and make sure that a gallon is truly a gallon. It's an exact measurement. They come out and they weigh it, they measure it and everything. It's perfectly a gallon.
Kind of so like the way someone goes and tests elevators. You know, every elevator you get in has that little license on it.
Yeah, the certificate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, or something like, yeah, it's exactly like that. It's just making sure everything is legit and that both sides are getting the best end of the deal. The station's not being, you know, pumping out too much fuel for too little money.
Right.
And the customer is getting a true gallon of gas when they're paying for a gallon. Well, they can do that with the pumps here, but they can't inspect the tanks in the same way that they do the tanks at a gas station. They can't inspect certain things on these rolling vehicles the way they would at a location that's always there. It's always going to be in the same spot.
Yeah.
They can't do these regular checks and everything. And I know you could have them come in, and it seems like there's a way to do this. They could come in for an annual check or a monthly check even.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have a department set up to do something like that right now. So this is all, it's all groundbreaking. It's all brand new to them. A lot, you know, in a lot of ways, as you mentioned, like the way Uber kind of surprised the taxi industry.
Yeah, absolutely. It pops up out of nowhere. What we're seeing again, and we've talked about this on the show before, is the disruptive role of technology. Technology always progresses at a faster pace than legislation. And legislation, in any kind of new technology, legislation is still several years behind. For instance, Netflix, right? Google's autonomous vehicles, mm-hmm. Uber, and now these apps that allow you to summon gas.
Yeah, this disruptive technology. I wonder, is it a disruptive technology or a disruptive service? Because we're really just talking about a simple app that summons them. The service is the disruptor here in this.
Yeah,
part, right?
That's a really good point. There's no different hardware.
No,
it's all
not.
The same nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I guess so. Whereas Uber seems to be doing things completely different, where you know you can order different vehicles, you can decide if you want other people to come with you.
One time they brought animals to our office.
They did. Kittens, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had that promotion.
Yeah.
That our peer podcast, Caroline and Kristen over at Stuff Mom Never Told You.
And sometimes they'll do fun things like you can be picked up in the DeLorean from Back to the Future or the Batmobile or something crazy
like
that.
Some place in the Middle East had an Uber helicopter service.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
that'd be.
Yes, way,
that would be a lot of fun.
That would be pretty cool. They don't let you drive, though.
I would like to arrive at Turner Field like that, you know, for a ball game. But they would have to land in the middle of the field.
And show up late.
Yeah, like center field, they land there and then they escort you to your seat.
That's
that'd be
great.
The way, that would be the way to arrive. All right. So, Ben, there's so many things to talk about with this, really. Like this, just this back and forth argument with whether it's legal, whether it's not, what they should do. Should they allow it? Should they not allow it? I read a couple of different things, and there's so many different viewpoints here, but one of them was, and this made sense to me, and I thought this is, you know, right now it's kind of a luxury service, it seems, because there's plenty of gas stations around. You can pump your own gas. This is just a matter of, you know, you don't want to, or,
right.
You know, it's easier for you to do it this way. It's not like you absolutely have to have this done.
Or maybe it's just a more efficient use of time if you're in a really crowded place.
Well, sure. And I get all those, like, you know, the instances where it could be useful to some people, or fleets of vehicles, or imagine having rental cars filled up this way. Mm-hmm. That'd be a great way to do it, too. I mean, you could.
Yeah.
Anyways, there's a lot of different, you know, situations where this might really work. But one thing that I read that was pretty interesting and made a pretty good, a strong argument for this type of service, they said, you know, the landscape of the city is changing in such a way that this is going to make sense, because a lot of people are moving back into cities again.
Yeah.
There's an influx right now. And the problem, if you can call it that, is the property values are just soaring. They're going right through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times in a city where, you know, you might have had, you know, one or two gas stations on every corner.
Mm-hmm.
Now the value of that property has gone so high that the owners are selling.
Because gas stations don't make a huge amount of profit.
No, they don't. You know what? We'll talk about that in a second. But,
yeah. At least on the gas.
Yeah, maybe they do. There's a big number. I'll tell you in a minute.
Yeah.
So the property value is soaring and they're selling out. And the problem is then that, you know, what's going back in is not another gas station.
No, it's like a high-rise condo or an artisanal stroller store or like a place that just sells half boomerangs.
Custom-made blue jeans.
Guys, you can tell that Scott and I are reacting a little bit to the changes that our own city is going through.
A bit of gentrification happening here that is...
I kid you not, maybe this mobile app will work for people whose companies are based in the building we're podcasting in today, Scott, because just across the street, they're tearing down that music venue, the Masquerade,
yes,
to build another enormous mixed-use development place, right?
Yeah, the Lofts at Soda Sopa,
is that it? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The Lofts at Soda Sopa, which is a South Park episode. You guys know we're big fans of South Park. It's one of my favorite South Park episodes.
Yeah, I think so, too. That whole season.
That whole season is just it's amazing.
Spot on.
But so maybe we are – maybe the creators of these services are prescient and they're predicting this, because San Francisco is much further along on the price out curve.
Mm-hmm.
Than many other cities, partially because of the huge investments made by tech companies.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, again, far fewer gas stations are in cities these days. I mean, it's just a matter of fact. I mean, you go out to the suburbs and there's four on every corner. There's at least two on every corner, it seems.
Right.
Major street corners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just not the case here. You might have to go a long distance in order to find the nearest gas station anyways. And this is just a great service. Plus, a lot of people coming from the suburbs don't necessarily want to pay the high premium of that
right.
The downtown price, but
oh, no kidding.
That's I don't know if you could, that's unavoidable at this point though, because they do price it based on the local area. So you're not getting the suburb price while you're down here in the city. You're getting the city price while you're down in the city. So
exactly.
You still are paying more. It's just you maybe removing the technicality of getting to that, because that could be a long side trip to get to a gas station if you're trying to leave work. head out on the highway where it's, you know, rush hour traffic, and then you got to make an exit, fill up your tank, and then get back on that highway, that could take a long time in a crowded city situation.
Especially with the insane rush hour traffic.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we mentioned, you know, how much they make on fuel and everything, right? Just a moment ago.
I
went through the, there's a number here, and I'll read you just a little bit, and you're going to have to bear with me on this, but this sets the whole thing up.
I'm ready.
So it says here that, you know, people that are in the gas station business don't necessarily like what's going on, of course, right? It's a disruptor, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken away their business. And they said that selling gasoline in the U.S. is a big business. In 2014, that's the latest numbers, there were 10,545 gas stations. What? That's an interesting number. I thought there would be actually more than 10,000. So 10,545 gas stations, and they collectively sold $534.7 billion worth of gasoline.
See, but that's their...
With a B.
That's their gross, though. That's not their profit.
Well, that is a gross, and that's according to the U.S. Census Bureau. So these numbers are legit, as far as we know.
Yeah.
All right, and then those stations earned... This is the earnings. $66.6 billion after accounting for what it cost them to buy the fuel. That means that the fuel cost the stations $468.1 billion, and they made $66.6 billion in profit. Now, that I extrapolated this a little bit here, Ben. I'll tell you what I did. Now, that number, by the way, the profit number, that's like three sixes and then eight zeros afterwards. It's a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
So you divide that number by the 10,545 stations, and you come out with an average of $6,315,789.47. Now, that's not to say that every little mom-and-pop gas station or even every big gas station is making, you know, $6.3 million every year on the sale of gas.
That's not what I expected.
No, that's a huge number, right? Some are going to be making double that, and others are going to be making almost nothing. Some are going to go out of business because they don't make enough money to pay their employees or keep the lights on.
Or the rent goes out of what they can afford.
So that number, it varies dramatically across the board, like who's making what. You know, the big companies, of course, are making a lot of money on every station they've got. But I had no idea that if you divide 10,545 stations, you get this number, this huge number of $6.3 million for each gas station. That's a big average number. So it is a huge, huge business. Now, the thing is, why these investors are so interested in this idea, this not new but relatively new idea, is there's two things about this that really draws them in this gasoline business.
What's that?
The first one is that owning a truck is a lot cheaper than owning a gas station. To fully equip one of these trucks, it costs something like $50,000. That's buying the truck, it's equipping it, and everything. That's $50,000.
Right. I'm sorry, just to interject here, the equipment that they have is relatively simple. So they have two fire extinguishers, two traffic cones, a bucket of chalk for spills, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, 324 gallons of gas, so the tank for that.
And I wonder about the tanks.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's split into two for premium and unleaded, like regular unleaded and premium.
Ooh, it has.
Unless you got one truck that goes out with just premium and one goes out with just regular.
Okay. I thought you were asking whether they were bilking people.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. No,
because you've heard those stories. We've talked about it before, like the old gas station in town that's been there for decades or something. It's closed down or they sell out and the bulldozers come in and they find out that the premium, the mid-grade, and the regular were all coming from one tank.
Yeah, now one tank would be a problem. I think two, you can do the blend. They can meter it and blend it correctly.
Sure.
So two is a minimum. But one tank, there's something fishy going on there. So again, if you have a station like what you just mentioned, you know, gas station, a permanent location, that can cost you as much as $2.25 million. So $2.25 million for a gas station versus $50,000 to fully outfit one truck to do this. And that one truck they can canvas the whole city all day long. And you know they're not operating one. They've probably got a dozen or more.
They got a fleet.
Yeah, they got a whole fleet. So the other thing is that the more fuel that they sell, the less they likely have to pay per gallon. So they're going to a supplier that, you know, will provide them in bulk quantity. The amount of fuel that they need. And, you know, what's not attractive about that? I mean, you charge, of course, you're going to charge this flat dollar fee. And if you charge the same price per gallon as the least expensive or the average or whatever nearby, you're still going to be making money and you're going to be paying less for that fuel on the front end. and, right. and getting more back from it on the back end because you're just getting the average price versus your discounted price. Which so it's very attractive.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, though. I have questions because we also have to wonder how much the delivery drivers are being paid. Are they in the same position as Uber drivers where they are considered independent contractors? Mm-hmm. I doubt that because these are definitely company vehicles.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so because there has to be, and I don't know that not every one of these does this because it's a simple matter of pumping fuel, really. It's very easy.
Right. Yeah.
But some of them are doing, as you said, hazmat certification. Some are doing just, you know, a safety course ahead of time, you know, an instruction course.
Yeah.
I would think that'd be kind of the minimum. That's not a huge investment, really. And if you're not paying them a whole lot per hour, that's probably an hourly position, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that they're really losing a lot of money. It's similar, I guess, to having somebody behind the counter at a gas station.
Yeah, but that's my question. You know, it's like, what is the price point for someone to work there hourly and the company to still make money? And what, I guess for them, it's good if gas becomes cheaper, right?
For sure.
Bottoming gas price.
It is good because they will still pay less.
They'll still pay less and then it gets cheaper just to operate the vehicle. This is a win-win, my friend.
Yeah. It's, you know what? It sounds like a pretty darn good business to get into. And there's variations of this coming too.
Yes.
Eventually, you know, people are going to be delivering hydrogen, you know, to hydrogen fuel cell vehicles. And they're right. going to be delivering electricity to vehicles. And how that would work would be these would be like, you know, the quick charging stations, but mobile. So
that's cool.
You know, you can have your car, no matter what type of electric car it is. Let's say you park in a lot that they haven't yet, you know, upgraded or they don't have enough chargers for you.
Right.
You could have the service come out and fully charge your electric car for you while you're at work. Or, you know, at having a doctor's visit or, you know, ball practice or whatever.
Yeah.
In an hour, they could charge your car and be on their way. And it would cost you, you know, whatever the electricity costs. I mean, I don't know how they would check that, but I'm sure it's the same way you can do with fuel.
And then plus a convenience fee.
Yeah, a convenience fee, which is, again, that flat fee of you know, I guess for, you know what, I would guess that it's going to be more for an electric car because it will take more time from the driver because they have to be parked there.
Right.
While it charges, and a fuel fill-up happens in a matter of minutes.
Unless they just switch out batteries or something.
Yeah.
In which case, you'd have to buy into a battery leasing service, probably.
See, that's the whole Tesla thing, right? Like, they want to do that at their own locations, but I don't know if you would even be able to do that on the fly because those things are heavy. Unless they had, I mean, there's going to be a lot of specialty equipment involved at that point.
Right, yeah. What kind of robot do we have to build for that one?
Yeah, I mean, a 1,500-pound battery. You're trying to do that in a parking lot, maybe when it's raining or snowing. I don't know if that's going to be possible.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But another thing that we see here is that just like you said with Uber, this is not a silver bullet situation. This will work for some people, not for others. We found some interesting information about the demographic of these people, especially on the West Coast. Excuse me for saying these people, the folks who find this useful. A lot of them are owners of larger tanked SUVs. Mm. So if you think about it, if you're in an Escalade, which is a pretty long vehicle, pretty big tank, then it takes you longer to fill up at a gas station than it would, say, you know, a Civic.
That's only one factor, though, too. You're also trying to navigate into a gas station.
Exactly, in an Escalade.
And that's difficult when it's a not-so-crowded location. But if you're in downtown LA and you're trying to pull off the road into a gas station and then back onto the road again, I know it sounds kind of funny to say it, but it's difficult. It could be a hard thing to do.
Some people just don't want the headache.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and you've mentioned Uber a couple times now, or we have mentioned Uber, but I want to tell you about one that this made me really scratch my head because I can't figure this out if this is a good idea or not. There's one particular company and it's called Purple. And they have a fleet of about 80 cars that drive around Los Angeles, the San Diego, Orange County, and even into Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't operate the way these pump trucks work that we're talking about. This particular company, Purple, in these areas, these drivers operate in sedans, and they carry around about a half dozen 5-gallon gasoline canisters in the trunk. And that's how they go to make their deliveries. And they come back, refill, and then head back out again. So they've got all these gas canisters in the back and, you know, however many they pour out, that's how they're measured. But this is so strange, Ben. That's already strange to me to begin with. But to take it one step further, one of the founders of the company, I think, said, We wanted to give an option to drivers to skip the gas station as if they were ordering Uber or a Lyft vehicle, and that's what we've been talking about. But he says, speaking of ride-hailing services, some of Purple's drivers actually pick up passengers for Uber between refuel gigs. So this is kind of crazy. Now, Uber hasn't commented on this at all. You know, they declined to comment on it, actually. But here's a driver that's going out and delivering fuel out of the trunk of the vehicle.
Right.
In these 5-gallon canisters. They've got some time in between, or maybe they're out of fuel headed back. They open up their Uber app and pick up a rider on the way, you know, drop that person off and then go back and get more fuel. So they're operating, they're like doing two jobs there, which is, I mean, that's fantastic. You know, it's good for them. They're go-getters. But,
sure.
But the thing is, would you want to get into an Uber car that likely smells like fuel? Because I would think that that car would smell like gas all the time.
And yeah, it smells like gas. And then also, are they licensed or certified to transport fissile materials?
Well, yeah, a passenger. Like, imagine a passenger gets in, or a small family or whatever, three people, and you're carrying 40 gallons of fuel in the trunk, and they don't know that. That's got to be a safety issue, right?
How would you feel if you hop in an Uber and eventually, you know, the guy's very nice or the lady driving's very nice, and eventually you go, hey, is there something wrong with your car? What's that smell? And they're like, no, don't worry. It's the gas. I got gas in the back. I got this. I deliver gas.
Yeah. Also, everybody's getting just a little bit sleepy during the trip.
Yeah. Do you guys want some gas? Or do you want me to just keep driving?
We don't even have a car.
That's yeah, but if you want some gas, you know, just to have.
Just for whatever. I mean, strange. It's like one of these strangest things. I mean, and again, all these companies operate in slightly different ways in all the different cities too. So
yeah,
I was looking around at what's available here in Atlanta, and I did find that I found that Filled company, and I guess there's others here as well, and in Nashville, which is close by. I was wondering, Ben. Of course, the question comes about: would you use a service like this? Because I don't think I would, and I think I know your answer now because of the way you feel about gas stations. I feel the same way. I would not use the service.
I would use it if I had to. I'm not – that's the thing, though. I'm not in the gray argument. I'm not against it if we're talking about being for it or against it.
Yeah.
But I'm not against it, but I don't think it's for me because I like gas stations too much. The only way I could see myself using it would be if maybe I was – broke down on the side of the road somehow, which doesn't usually happen.
Okay, well, that's an emergency situation.
Yeah,
and there are other services.
Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see myself using it outside of some extraordinary circumstance. For instance, if I had a rental car and I was new to town and it was rush hour and I knew that right after I got out of whatever meeting I was in, I had exactly 43 minutes to get across town or something insane like that.
Return the rental car.
Right. Then I would say, well, fill me up before I get out of this meeting and I can just hop in and go. That would be worth it. Also, because we've talked about it before, the gas station prices near rental car drop-offs, they're milking you, man.
Yeah, don't ever go to the gas station that's located on the airport or near the airport even, because they're $6 or $7 a gallon. They truly are.
Go to the Quick Trip down the street.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned that specific scenario, because I did kind of an informal poll among some HowStuffWorks employees here.
Uh-huh.
And I got varied responses, but given more time, you know, like during the day, because I asked them in the morning and, it's afternoon now, they've had some time to think about it. And it's funny, they must have been pondering this because they came back and said, you know what, I was thinking about this, and one of them mentioned a rental car situation. You know, that'd be a great idea. The other one that you mentioned also was, if you run out, if it's an emergency situation, you're on the side of the road. The problem with that idea, though, is that for one, you know, other services do that. You know, AAA will come out and give you a gallon of fuel if you have their roadside assistance.
Yeah.
And also the hero vehicles that I mentioned again that, you know, patrol Atlanta highways, I guess, they will do that. And I know other cities have similar programs. They'll give you a gallon of fuel to get to the gas station. Mm-hmm. The other thing is that, you know, when you push the button to order the fuel, some companies do say, yeah, we'll be there in an hour. Others say, here's your window of opportunity between noon and 5 p.m. It's like calling the cable company, you know, to come out. It's like you're kind of stuck in that spot.
Noon and 5 p.m.? Cable company would never be that specific.
I don't know if it's that dramatic. It might be a smaller window, but that's kind of one of the problems I would have with this is that, you know, what if you do push the button when you're at work and say, you know, I need I need fuel in the parking lot. I'm sure you can cancel, and there might even be a fee. I don't know.
Right.
But let's say that a meeting gets out early, and your husband or wife calls you and says, you got to pick the kids up at school today because I've got an unexpected emergency dentist appointment or something.
Right, or you've got to pick up the kids at school today because I just got notice of my audition for American Idol.
Yeah, okay, that –
I don't know.
What a scenario. Okay, so
well,
here's another. Well, here's another little problem, and this is a minor problem, and I know that there's probably a way around this, but most cars now, it seems like, have locking fuel doors. So you're in the, you know, your office space or whatever, you know, and the car's parked outside.
Yeah.
Do you leave the fuel door open, or do you leave the car unlocked so that the attendant can get in there and get to it?
That's because a good question.
In a city, you know, like where you're likely going to be using this in a city, you don't really want to leave your car doors unlocked all the time. That's not good policy. People check that kind of thing to see if they can get in and take, you know, whatever trinkets or whatever you have in there.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. I see people checking doors to see if they can get into cars. It happens.
Yeah.
What do you do in that case? Or what happens when they get there to fill it up and then they have to call you in your office and you have to run down to the parking lot or structure or wherever? Mm-hmm. That can take a lot of time as well. I know it's minor stuff, but it's things I'm thinking about.
Especially if it's time sensitive.
You can't pop open a lot of these tanks from the outside anymore like you used to be able to.
Right.
A lot of them are, you know, a release inside or, you know, something like that, or even a key fob operation. So I don't know. It's tricky in a lot of ways. But, you know, the people that I talk to here in the office, and I don't know, should I mention names or not?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so Dylan, he's our photo editor here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dylan. And also occasionally edits our show Car Stuff.
Yeah, he's probably listening to this right now before all the other listeners. That's an interesting thought.
Huh, that's weird.
Yeah.
It's like time travel.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
All right, well, future Dylan.
I think he might even be kind of a fan. Kind of. He has to do it for – it's work, you know.
Yeah, it's his job.
It's his job.
He's not a volunteer.
All right. So Dylan said maybe. And he said, you know, here after he thought about it for a while, he's very thoughtful, Dylan. So he was thinking about, you know, reasons. And he said if he was maybe taking off for a trip to his parents' house, who I think they live in Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
If he was taking off for a trip right from the office and he had forgotten to go to the gas station the night before, that would be a situation where he would use it. But really, outside of that that's not really something that he would typically want to use. Allison, I talked to Allison. She mm-hmm. is an editor here for How Stuff Works Now.
Mm-hmm.
She is a Prius driver. We've talked about, remember, rats in a Prius?
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
her. she's a Prius driver. And she only fills up something like once a month, and it's really not a big deal for her. It's a short drive home, like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
She says there's no way she'd do it because she also threw in there that she's a cheapskate. Which we can appreciate that on the show. So yeah, we both appreciate that. That's a good quality.
All right.
And then Catherine, Catherine, another editor for How Stuff Works Now. She said no. That just right. Almost immediately said no way I would do it.
Wow. What are you hiding in your car, Kat?
yeah. Maybe that's it. Maybe she's got something to hide. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she says no, but then she did come back and say maybe in an emergency situation only, but she does have AAA and they'll already deliver a gallon
the
of fuel.
The original fuel delivery.
I was having trouble finding anybody that would really say wholeheartedly, yes, I'd use that. I would love to because I can't stand the gas station.
I don't know. The thing is, gas stations are just so cool, especially if you get out on the interstate here in the U.S. You know, that's I love it. I love the truck stops that are like their own little cities.
Oh, those
you know
are
what
awesome.
I mean?
Yeah, when you go in and they've got all the CB equipment and unusual brands of things that you know don't get in the smaller stations.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to take a shower there unless I had to. but, you know.
Oh, I like when they have the clean showers and the stocked fishing pond out back.
Yeah, right.
For the truckers.
The stocked fishing pond is so cool. And the clean showers are a necessity. I wish that I saw more of these around. I think I may have missed them or missed their heyday. But the hotel, gas station, restaurant, truck parking area,
sure.
all attached in one thing.
Sure,
those things seem so cool.
Those little classic motels where you drive up to the door of your room.
Yeah, okay.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah,
there's still a gas station attached. Man, gas stations are the best. You never know what you're gonna find. But you know you're gonna find maybe at a lot of the big chains the food's horrible for you. That's fine. We can just accept that. I'm sure you can find a salad somewhere, right? And don't act like they don't sell fruit.
Yeah, just deal with it.
Right. we all know we want the pizza.
Yeah, of course we do.
That's fine.
And the roller food.
Yeah, and so this brings me to something else.
Maybe not.
I don't know. I'll eat the – I'm very selective about it.
I will do it.
I promise you guys, Quick Trip is not paying me. Like me, it is a company – it is from Tennessee, but they're absolutely not paying me to say how great they are. I just think they do a good job. And
agreed.
Yeah.
And some of the bigger ones, like Racetrack or places like that.
Flying J.
That's the thing. Like, it's funny. We're talking, since we're talking about this now, we might as well just continue down this path.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if everywhere this is happening everywhere or not, but have you ever, you've pulled over before and you've just found a gas station that is just super nice. Like, everything's brand new. They've got, cut stonework outside, like fitted stone columns, and it's a beautiful place. It really is nice. Like, granite countertops inside and the latest equipment, all stainless steel and everything.
Yeah.
One of those went in sort of near my house, and my daughter, when she was younger, like, it was brand new. She called it the first class gas station.
That's true.
It's like
though.
Top quality.
Yeah, top notch. That's a good name for one, too. Yeah. Top notch gas.
No, it would be.
But, okay, so before I take us any further off the rails of our episode today.
Now we're almost done anyway.
Yeah, one of the reasons that I'm so gassed about gas stations, I am sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, I apologize.
No, it's necessary.
It just happens sometimes. But the one of the reasons I am so excited about this is because it seems that logically the next step in the business model for mobile fuel delivery will be to deliver things other than fuel, right? Like Uber. So if you can't take, to paraphrase the old quotation, if you can't take Muhammad to the gas station, take the gas station to Muhammad, the idea being, if we already have this truck with relatively simple equipment, how much more of an investment is it to have a selection of snacks and cold drinks?
Ah, but see, then you have to be with the vehicle in order to enjoy that, unless they leave it for you.
They can leave it, and then you don't have to make, what if you just see one filling up someone else's tank and say, oh, hey.
Well, that's like the ice cream truck.
Can I have a Coke? Yeah, turn it into an ice cream
truck. Okay, so maybe while they park and they're filling, they play that little jingle that everybody knows. over the loudspeaker so that it alerts people to its presence.
I mean, you see what I'm saying, though? There are possibilities. Because I was thinking about this before when I had been in traffic, and there were these seemingly endless traffic jams, rush hour, some terrible accident occurs, four lanes 3 miles ahead are shut down on the five lane
road. And you were absolutely parked where you just shut the engine off.
Right. Where you start looking around and wondering, is this going to be like that old REM video where everybody just gets out of their car? It hit me because I've seen this happen before in other countries primarily. I was like, this would be the perfect time for someone to hop out and have, I was thinking if I were truly an entrepreneur, I would hop out and I would have a cooler with some like water, some soda, et cetera. And then it's like, and then I would also have, some kind of snack to sell.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, but I can't.
Well, how about you remember the winter storm when everybody was out on the highway in their Cadillac Escalades?
Yes, yeah.
God. No, that's a Buford Calloway reference there. If you look it up, you'll know what I'm talking about. Funny bit, SNL. No, yeah, that's a great idea. Like, it's almost like those guys that show up outside of sporting events with a cooler and sell you a bottle of water for a dollar. It sounds like a fantastic deal once you're paying $6 inside for the same water. Yeah. However, they're not licensed. They don't have the proper licensing for selling stuff like that. I don't know what kind of permits you need. Uh-huh. And what would you need to sell, snacks on the highway? I mean, it's not even a thing.
Well, technically, it's already illegal because they are non-pedestrian areas.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You're not even supposed to be out of your vehicle at that point.
So it's a bummer, but it's true.
Well, if you're already breaking the law, you might as well sell some stuff while you're there, too. Got some jewelry in this container here. I got can I interest you in a watch or a cigar?
That's great.
Yeah.
How about here's a hat for a sports team that you've never heard of? It's like, oh, who are the Ohio Mudfeet?
Oh, you're close there. Almost.
Really?
The Mud Hens.
Oh, I was trying to make up something.
Is it Toledo Mud Hens? I think it was. It's like the AAA. I can't remember. It's a farm league, I think.
I was trying to make up something.
Well, it's just enough off that it would work.
Yeah.
All right. So I get it. Yeah. Like a knockoff hat, a knockoff merchandise, something like that. You could be the worst of the worst.
So we have two people then in the truck, two people in the fuel truck.
Okay.
One guy is, let's bring it all the way back around and let's look at it the way we'd look at a heist team, right? So we've got, I guess, three people total because we've got a dispatch somewhere who's fueling up the actual 324 gallons or supervising that, right?
Yep.
Like the dispatcher in Taxi. And then these two people go out and one of them, let's say, navigating in charge of tunes and snacks.
Oh,
and then
good job.
Great job. It's a cushy job, but great job. Other one's driving and then fuels.
Okay.
Or something like that. So they drive.
Call him Knuckles.
So Knuckles gets perfect. Knuckles gets to the parts car, and then however they've worked out access to the car, he has it. He's filling it up with it. It's 20 gallons or whatever, and 12, I guess, 12, 18 gallons. And then while Knuckles is doing that, the other guy whose nickname is...
I'm stumped on that. I've been trying to think for the last 30 seconds. I can't get one. I got to come up with some clever snack name.
What about just Snacks?
Yeah. There you go. Snacks.
All right. So Snacks is out there in his very creative street name. Snacks turns on the tunes and opens up maybe almost like a side of it, a side of the truck.
Yeah, like an old Roach coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly like that. And then just begins to sell the wares. Right.
Well, there might be a problem with open fuel near food. That might be one issue, I guess.
Yeah, that's one.
Sorry to shoot down the
idea. No, that's great. So it would have to be prepackaged.
Possibility.
Yeah, and then also...
Yeah, if it's in sealed packages.
One of the other things I'm thinking about is also if there are a lot of these calls that are on interstates or if there are calls in bad parts of town late at night, Snacks would probably just sit there shotgun.
Yeah, Snacks is on edge.
Yeah, Snacks isn't feeling it. It's like these guys walking up don't want Doritos.
Snacks and Knuckles out working the town.
In that Brain Stuff video about heist, we gave all the Brain Stuff hosts some sort of pursuit or, you know, expertise for the heist.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if our buddy Josh Clark from Stuff You Should Know, watched the video. And we actually made him the getaway driver and in charge of snacks and his name in charge of catering. And his nickname was like Josh Noodles Clark.
Noodles.
And we got a really weird picture of him. So yeah, check out the video.
The craft services guy.
The craft services guy. Yeah. I mean, I think he appreciated it as a joke.
I'm sure he watched.
No one calls him Noodles. But what do you think about this idea? If you could, and you can, depending on where you live, summon a service to fill up your tank and say goodbye to gas stations forever with a, $5 to $7 fee each time.
Plus the fuel. Which you're going to pay for anyways.
Right. And you're not really getting a discount on it.
No. So just every time you push that app button, you know you're being charged $5 or $7.
Would you do it? And if so, why? Do you think this is something that would spell the demise or slow decline of gas stations the same way that Amazon and online ordering put paid to quite a few brick and mortar stores?
Yeah. You know what, man? I just want to say this too. I think there is a pile of money to be made in this business. I think that this is something that is going to stick around. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to change rules in order to, make it work in different cities, allow it to happen.
Yeah.
And because the need is going to grow, I think, with the demise of, the slow demise, I guess, of these gas stations. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But in cities anyways, and crowded cities. And I think that I think there's a ton of money to be made here for somebody who can jump in right now early on this. If you can, if you can get in with a fleet of vehicles at $50,000 a piece, and get the whole thing. If you've got a business mind, and you've got investors, and you've got people willing to help you along with this, I think this is a good business to get into.
Yeah. Now it's always going to be a little risky.
Of course, it's risky. It's a huge risk. And what direction are you going to go? Are you going to do fuel? Are you going to do diesel? Are you going to do? Gas or diesel? Are you going to going to go electric? Are you going to go with some other type of fuel that, we're not really seeing a lot of right now?
Where do you want to set up? Where do you want to set up? And then also, how flexible do you think those municipal authorities will be? You'll probably have to start in a city.
Yeah.
How flexible do you think those authorities would be with the current legislation?
Yeah. And some people are saying, right now when maybe we're just not asking for permission. We're just doing it until they tell us we can't do it. And then we'll force a change. You know, we'll write new laws. We'll, you know, whatever we have to do. But, that's kind of the assumption a lot of them are operating on right now. And it's kind of working. It's like, they're not looking at each other and what they're doing exactly. And it's functioning. It's happening, but, maybe not perfectly to the letter of the law right at this moment.
Right. And then the question becomes, how long will this last before it becomes legitimate or before it becomes an interesting flash in the pan?
And the biggest issue here is, are people willing to do it? Because, I mean, our quick informal survey here of five people?
Pretty much unanimous.
Five said no.
Only to be done in emergency situations.
Yeah. So are you going to get people to bite on this? Is this going to be something that really takes off, or is it going to be something that is just, again, like you said, just an idea that maybe it's better left to construction equipment, farmers, and mm-hmm. you know, those desolate homes. You know, that could be it.
Yeah. So let us know what you think, and do check out our earlier podcast on, let's see, did we ever do a gas stations podcast?
Oh, man. I don't know. We've talked about fuel. Maybe in nuts and bolts type episodes, but never, I don't think, a full gasoline. We've done, how we get gasoline, how, you know.
Yeah, how
from the ground to your car.
Right.
So that's one.
I don't know. Maybe the idea of doing a gas station podcast just, I can't tell if it is a good idea or if I'm just hungry. Because a little inside baseball here, you guys. We were working on another project that was off air. And it was video stuff. And in between that, those shoots, I was trying to eat a Hot Pocket.
He was.
And I felt kind of unprofessional. I apologize.
The most unprofessional part of that was he didn't bring enough for everybody.
I said there's another one in the fridge.
Well, that's a lot of work. Plus we were setting up for the shoot and everything. And Ben's got a Hot Pocket in his hand.
We weren't even doing it. They were set up. Also, would you use an app that would get somebody to just bring you a Hot Pocket?
I could use that at home, you know, about midnight every night.
let us know, ladies and gentlemen. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode. You know what I'd like to hear, Scott? I'd like to hear from people who have used this.
Oh, that's a great idea. And there's bound to be somebody out there who has.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just people that have an opinion about it, sure. But if you've actually used this service, I'd love to hear about it. And the situation that led you to decide that was a good idea. You know, it could just be an outright hatred for gas stations.
Uh-huh.
The process, you know, you don't like it, you don't enjoy it. Or it could be maybe a physical limitation of some kind. It could be, you know,
there's a
disability that causes you to maybe even temporarily not be able to do it yourself or permanently. That's another situation. But, you know, I'd love to hear, you know, the situation around why you're using it. That'd be great.
Yeah, I as well. You can write to us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are CarStuffHSW, and Word to the Wise, spoiler alert, there may be a listener mail episode in the card soon. So who knows? Your feedback might get on the air. And if you have something that you want to tell us but you don't really care for the social media, we, of course, understand. You can email us directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.